everything the Lord is doing for us. And I want you to be in prayer. I know there are many needs that we have here in our local assembly, and there are things that we are trying to accomplish. And I have not received a special offering of, or tried not to, of any kind. To generally, when we receive a special offering, then the tithe drops and the regular giving drops, because that people pays well. So I've tried to stay away from that, and just things that we are needing to do. And was thinking along those lines today, and I felt the Lord begin to deal with me by receiving an offering for Brother Tim Joyner there in the country of Brazil, Belize. And I got in contact with him today. He doesn't know why I was in contact with him, but Sunday night I'm going to be receiving an offering. Whatever we get, the Lord just said that whatever comes in, get it to him. And I believe that it will be a help. A lot of circumstances that he probably does not even know that I'm aware of. Just thinking about today, that I felt the Lord begin to deal with me. And I want you to be in prayer. If you can give $20 or $50 or $100 or $1,000, that's whatever God impresses upon you. I will be seeing him before he leaves and goes back out of the country. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, before I lay down last night, I began to, was praying about, a matter of fact, all day yesterday, God, which direction do I need to go for this service tonight? And the Lord began to deal with me about something that I hope that I can convey to you. If it's not at a high level decibel, then does not take away from what I feel God instructed me to say tonight. And I trust that you will help me tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, "And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on this subject, thankfulness. I know it's not Thanksgiving. I know it's not November. I understand that. I talked to the Lord about that. I told him, I said, Thanksgiving is coming. I'll deal with thankfulness and all that here in a few services. And he said, no, you're going to do it tonight. And so I just said, okay, here we go. And there's a lot to be thankful for. Amen. We live in a country that was founded on "In God We Trust." We live in a country that was founded on "In God We Trust." Somebody had a sign one time that says, "In God We Trust, everybody else pays cash." But there's a lot of people that does not put trust in God anymore. We live in the best, in my opinion, of world conditions. There are no places on earth that is as blessed as we are here in America. And for many, many decades, we have enjoyed the freedom from war, from turmoil, that is seen in other places around the world. There is a lot of places that even tonight, bombs are being dropped and missiles are being dropped. There is gunfire. We have our own type of war that is going on, but there is a lot of devastation that is happening around the globe. And I want to go on record tonight as being thankful that God has allowed me to be born where I have been born. It's nothing against any other country in the world, but God has, to a certain degree, been very good to the United States. We live in a place where we are free to worship Him. We can speak exactly as we see it. We don't have to give code names for what we're doing. We are not having English classes tonight. We're having church. We don't have to say that we're having swimming parties. We have baptismals. We don't have to say that they spoke in a language that has been taught in another land. People talk in tongues. That's just part of the freedom that we have, or we did have when I walked in here. Things are subject to change. There are those that, I know the Bible says to pray for those that are in leadership and those that are rulers and stuff, but there are those that are there that I find it hard sometimes. I pray that God speed up their terms. But then I start thinking, what is awaiting us? Is it going to be any better? But I'm thankful that we are free to worship God. There are countries that they come in under very dim lit circumstances, literally, and they are very quiet, and you will not have a PA system, and there will not be anyone that will say, "Let's praise the Lord." And there'll be a roar that will reach 100 decibels, but it will be very quiet, because they don't want anyone to report them. But we are free to praise Him. And yet, for all of its goodness, we now live in one of the most unthankful nations on the face of the earth. First John 2 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." We live in a place that is not as thankful as it used to be. Our nation as a whole is one that lust after things and reaches after things that others have, instead of being thankful for the things that God has given to them. I really wonder, even as one God, Jesus' name, apostolic believers, has there been an overwhelming majority in here today that has just simply said, "God, I thank you for what I've got right now," and you've give God thanks for it? Or have you looked around and thought, "If I could just have something else"? We have preached against the mentality of doing whatever is needed to get something else and not being thankful for that we have, and we have trained a generation to be unthankful. You can give a child something and you have to tell them, "Say thank you for what?" You need to be thankful for what you have been given. Why? I like the deal. I'm sorry. There's people that I will say yes ma'am and no ma'am to, and yes sir and no sir to. Has nothing to do with just other than being polite. It's the way I was raised. And people are so, the generation, they're unthankful. They live without a conscious of what is going on. But I serve a God that has done so much that I could never thank him enough for what he's already done. But yet I find myself asking about what you gonna do tomorrow? What you gonna do 30 minutes from now? How much better is it going to get here in a few days? When I need to pause and just thank him for what he's already done. You know, anyone can find something to complain about, but it ought to be that real people of God will come to God with a spirit of thanksgiving. And it is so, we get so caught up sometimes that we forget the pit that God dug us out of. We forget what we used to be. We don't want to associate, people. Years ago, there was a man that he lifted himself up, that he had all of that and a box of Snickers too, you know. He was coming to see this girl, and the mother says he has come from such a, to hear him tell it, such a wealth of resources, and she says, I'm embarrassed that he's come into our house. And so old brother Brock got out and he burned the old barn that was leaning, and he cleaned up around there. And this guy shows up and he sits there and listens to him for a little bit, and he walks into the kitchen. He said, Mama, we burned a good barn. Because that dude in there that's talking, he ain't all of that. We want people to think better of us, and that's everybody. We don't want nobody to think poor of us. If you're on Facebook, don't take, you don't have to be prophetic to understand it, but I did ask somebody, I said, so nobody likes you. They better love you, but I probably got people that don't like me. And then I tried to figure out why they don't. What did I do? You know, because we want everybody to think well of us, and we want God to look at us, but we walk in with a mentality of not where we were, but there's not a one of us in this place that has something to brag or to boast about outside of Calvary. Because if we got what we really deserved, every one of us came to God in the same shape. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Yet everyone that has obeyed the plan of salvation, repentance, godly sorrow, turning away from baptism in the name of Jesus, going down in that watery grave, then filling of the Holy Ghost, you've been changed from a sinner to one that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you need to give God praise for that and to be thankful that he's done that for you in your life. There are people here that I'm preaching to that probably should be in the grave. Your home should be broken up. There's some that you should still be addicted to drugs or to alcohol or nicotine, or you have an addiction or had an addiction to pornography, yet God reached down and lifted you out of a life of sin, and he placed you on a solid foundation. You have much to be thankful for. That your life is not what it used to be, but God has changed you and made something, a better creature out of you. I really wonder, as I was getting ready for tonight, I thought if I asked the question, is there anyone in here that would be man enough or woman enough? If I was to call out some things that God has set you free from, would you be willing to stand and just let hell know and others know that it's not just words, but you're thankful for what God has done for you? I wonder if there's anybody that God has set free from drugs. Would you mind letting the world know, mind letting hell know that, hey, God has done something for me? It's not a life that I liked. I enjoyed it for a season, but God has set me free. I wonder if God has set somebody free from alcohol. I wonder if he's delivered somebody just in an instant from smoking. You didn't have to wear a patch. You didn't even have to smoke the patch. God delivered you right then. Some of you are going to have to just keep standing for multiple things. I wonder if there's anybody that God has mended a home and kept things together. I wonder who he has given their children back to them. Or I wonder if there's anybody in here that would join these that are standing and say, God set me free from sin. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. God done something. I'm thankful for what he's done. For no other reason, I just give him praise. He's a good God. Come on, let's praise him for a minute. He's a wonderful God. We ought to praise him. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated. Some of us should be in the grave. Some of us should be locked up in some institution. You shouldn't even be here. But look at you. You're clean. You're washed. You're in the presence of a great God. You need to be thankful. Well, I'll give him thanks at Thanksgiving. No, you need to thank him every day for what he's done for you. He picked you up. He took a water hose, a hold of you, and he washed you off. He cleaned you up. He scrubbed you down. You don't resemble what you used to be. But it bothers me. Really, really bothers me that as a pastor that we have a generation of young people, not just in this world, but in Pentecost, that doesn't know how to be thankful. There's something wrong when we have to be reminded to say thank you. It just all stems from an attitude of unthankfulness. 2 Timothy, there are two sins, or sins that are listed. One of the greatest sins that was listed in 2 Timothy was unthankfulness. The writer of Timothy even talks about this. This is a taught trait. Children don't just learn it, they follow by example. Just not a show of hands, but when's the last time? Who in here would be brave enough, but I don't want you to, please? They would just simply say, My children heard me even last night just give God thanks. You know, we don't need to go further down our society, but we need an uplifting of our morals and of things which are right and things which are correct. And I'm praying that a spirit of gratitude would sweep over this church. That it would sweep over our section. It would sweep over our district. It would sweep over our state. It would sweep over our organization. But it would sweep over our world. That we're thankful for what God is doing. If God never blessed you with nothing else in this life, He's done enough that you could never thank Him enough for what He's done. There's a lot of people that may not believe it, but I believe it, and I'm going to say it. You can praise and thank your way out of a situation. You can give God praise, you can give God thanks, and turn a situation around. So when you start praising Him for His blessing, it makes room for Him in a way that has never been there before. And when there's room for Him, anything can begin to happen. It's time to be thankful for the blessings of God. And I challenge you on this Tuesday night to start giving God more praise and have a spirit of thankfulness in your heart for what He is doing for you. Everyone has something to be thankful about, and start telling Him about it. I left here, the length of the service went a little longer preliminary wise, but I don't ask for forgiveness about it. It's just I cut some things out that I wanted to say and make mention to, and I said, well, I'll catch up on it later. And I began to make notes of things that I really wanted to say, because, you know, there's people here, they expect great things to be said. But I wanted to just let some people know tonight that how thankful I am. You see, things don't just happen. We show up for service, and woohoo, the building's open. The air's on. The lights are on. The doors are open. Let's have church. We take for granted that it's going to be open. We take for granted that someone's going to close it up. There's some, the minute we say amen, that, I mean, we're not even hardly through praying, and you out the door. You get to the restaurant early. You beat the crowd. You beat the, pick your denomination. If they have church on Sunday night, you even beat the Pentecostals that have church on Sunday night still. Because you get out of here. While you're enjoying fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's some that they sit and they patiently wait. And sometimes an hour and 20 minutes after church has ended, we're still sitting here waiting. They say it's a sign of a healthy church. My God, we need it. We need to be healthy. But they're sitting here. There's those that every once in a while they'll come through and they'll say, I'm still sitting in my office. And they'll go, everything is locked up but your door, and turn the alarm on and just go out and it's ready to go. Ever great once in a while, something falls through the crack. And I walk there to look and can't set the alarm. Door's open.
So I sat there and I start grumbling. Who in the world went through that door? What business? We didn't have nothing going on up there tonight. There was no reason for them to go through that door. So we go trying to find doors, and we've learned kind of the pattern. Then we get there, and there's lights that are on. We're slowly working on that. It's took us 20 years, but we're getting there. And so once we get out of here and we want to go get a bite to eat, then we start saying, okay, what's left open? We live in the fourth largest city in America that everything closes down, restaurant-wise, except McDonald's and Whataburger and Burger King or Denny's. You're too late. You can't get into Chili's. You sure ain't going to get into Papa Do's or Papa Cita's. You have to just, your choices start narrowing down. But I got to making notes of what does it take to make an operation like we got. And I started looking at it, and I sit there in my office, and I said, God, I thank you for every one. And I know that if I start, and I am going to name some things, and I know I'm going to miss your department. I'm going to miss something about you. And you come up and ask me. I'm telling you in advance, I'm probably going to miss you. I'm sorry. I'll do my best to send an extra bouquet of flowers to your funeral. But right now, I'm going to help you out while you're alive. So if I miss it and I get to the end of it and I ain't thought something, somebody speak up and you got to speak loud. I got to be able to hear. But things that make things that I'm thankful for. This is just a list of things that I thought that makes our church board is a great group of men that I believe loves this message with all of their heart, and they have given of themselves, of their resources, of their wisdom, and everything else to help make this church run. And I thank them for it. Our trustees, departmental leaders, there are those that head up Bible studies. We don't think about it, but there are those that head up Bible studies. Brother, if you want to give a Bible study and want to know what to do, go see Brother Williams. He can help you out. Guest services. I mean, things happen with guest services that you just really don't think about. What all goes on. You know, someone is standing there smiling at you. You've just come out from driving the streets of hell. And someone smiles at you and says, praise the Lord. And you, praise the Lord. Because you're still wanting to cut that Toyota off that was almost hit by that semi that swerved. We got ushers and hostesses. And we got a coffee shop that God has blessed us. The stuff in the coffee shop, unless they have been given instructions, is not free. Somebody has to pay for it. And we got marble floors that most people wouldn't want you eating on for you to drink your coffee and your soda water and your crackers and all that, and don't bring it on the carpet because it's easier to clean up. When you don't get to come, there's webcast that's going on that you can watch the service. There's, let me tell you what, I know just enough about it to confuse Brother Jeremy and Brother Robert so bad until they got where they don't even discuss none of this around me. what I know. And it ain't got nothing to do with what they're talking about. I understand that. But I do like to watch them squirm. But it's important. And the media and the sound. And we got a Spanish department and that's going good. And I want them to know that they are a part of this church. That is not a church in a church. They're part of this church. There's joy. Just older youth. Brother Tim and Sister Lee, they do a tremendous job in this group that they enjoy being with them. And if you have not given Brother Jared your email address, you need to do so, because he sends out. I told him, I said, I don't want any announcements made, and I'll get up here and make an announcement. He sends out a deal. It's called In the Loop. Tells you everything that's going on. Y'all got a social coming up. How many of you knew that? Yep, they're going to be there. Boy, this group is dedicated, I can tell you. But we just take for granted that something's going to happen. There's Hitched. There's a lot I could say about this. But right now, I'm just giving thanks. How many men is in here? That's not a loaded question. Just your birth certificate's got an M on it. It doesn't say Caitlin. Now, how many men have I got in here? The Guardians. Brother Williams does a tremendous job with the Guardians. The Daughters of Zion. Ladies, we need you. It's important. There's one thing that happens that there's probably not 10 people in here that understand. We baptize people in Jesus' name. That's not what you don't know. When they come out of the water, they are wet. Do you know that we've got people that we probably never even mentioned it more than a couple times, that after we've had several that are baptized, that they are up here washing and drying baptismal robes and towels and putting all of it back. It don't just happen. Now, if somebody else is doing it besides the last time I heard, then you gonna miss out on it, and I'm gonna give all the glory to Sister Colleen, because she's done a tremendous job. Just because you never have to, oh Lord, is there a baptismal robe up there? You walk in, open it up. You know, it's just like, you know, kind of being at home. You just walk in and there your clothes are. Boy, that's not where I left them. But they're ready to go. Building maintenance. Jesus. Under normal circumstances, I'm still preaching about thankfulness. Under normal circumstances, there would be somebody on full-time, probably two people, full-time staff, just to keep up a building like this. But you look around, and I talked to a preacher this week that I couldn't help but laugh. He told me, he said, a spirit of your dad came upon me, and I kind of shut my eyes, even though I couldn't see him. I could just imagine it, and I could just hear him say it. But he said, I was working, trying to get some things done, and he said, there was somebody coming that hadn't picked up even a thread off the floor. Walked in and said, well, I want you to know, back there in the fellowship hall, there is four ceiling tiles that's got water spots on them. And you need to change them before service in the morning. He said, it was all I could do to keep the Holy Ghost. He said, because that joker hadn't done nothing. He said, and I looked at him and said, there is a closet back there with a stepladder in it. And the closet right beside it's got two brand new boxes of tile. Get your carcass in there and get four pieces of tile and go put them in and shut up griping and complaining. I thought, yep, that sounds just like him. He said he just kind of looked at me. He said, I went through the whole weekend. He said, there's still four tiles with water spots on them. He said, because I didn't have time. I looked around. There was water. There's been, we was getting ready for the Saturday, Friday, let's see, Thursday night. Just a mishap. My office, water started pouring through the ceiling. They was in there replacing ceiling tiles. Saturday at the picnic, here they come. They said, we got another office that's flooding. I said, well, I didn't like the color in there anyway. Wallpaper, we had to scrape stuff off the walls, ceiling tiles, all. It's just, and I was getting in the car when I found out. So I went back in to go look, see how much damage there was done. I walked in and went, whoa. We're going to have to have sheetrock mud, about 5 gallons of paint. We're going to have to find that place and pick up tiles. We take it for granted. We walk in, we look around, boy, everything looks nice. There's a lot I could say. There are people that will get off from work, leave their house, do whatever, take time, and they walk in. You walk into clean restrooms, you walk in, there's all the essentials that are needed, and we just go, well, they're here. I thank you for it. I walk in, and my office is cleaned, and I know that I didn't leave it that way sometimes. And I thank them so much. And one unthankful job is nursery. They come and say, we need help in the nursery. I done raised my kids, or I'm busy, or it comes your time and you laying out somewhere. Well, I'm thankful that for those that we have people that knows how to decorate. Event coordinators. I've never walked in one time that I went, oh Lord, we'll do better next time. God has been good to us. Music. We're going to talk after church about this one. No. God has, I read an article, rather, said, what kind of people are you trying to reach? There's some that only sings out of the hymnal. Some only sings off the wall. You'll get that one tomorrow. If you sing out of the hymnals, you lose the young people. If you sing off the wall, you lose the old people. Who are you trying to reach? Well, I'm going to get to that one here in just a second. We walk in here, and sometimes we sing, oh, I want to see him. And there's power in the name of Jesus. And I hear some of these titles, and I start humming a song that's probably 30 years old. And I get here, and I go, well, they said they were singing that. That's not what they're singing. So I have to learn a new rhythm, a new song. I'm thankful for the music in our church. I'm thankful. I get excited. I look up here, and there's been a lot of times I told my wife, I've said, I would be so glad when walk in, and there's nothing wrong with women musicians. Nothing. Because if we hadn't, there's times that it was nobody but my wife and Sister Jan. My wife was playing the bass part on the pedals, and Sister Jan was keeping rhythm with that left hand on the keyboard, and that was it. I mean, we were having church. But I told my wife, I said, you know, I would love to see just nothing but a group of young men up there playing music. That when they walked off the platform, they knew how to walk and they knew how to talk. Hello. God's good to us. I'm thankful. Kids' church going on. Our Sunday school director. Not everybody likes Brother Carter. You better love him if you plan on going to heaven. Sunday school teachers, I know they're in another part of the building. They miss out on a lot of things, but they are teach the buses. My God, I thought that a school was a money pit. Buses are a money pit. We got one sitting over there, it runs hot. Can't even crank it up without it running hot. The air conditioners don't work. We say, well, we never had air conditioning on the buses. Well, we got too much concrete around here to not have air conditioning. The youth. There's a group of young people that love God. They're being taught the ways of God. I'm thankful for it. Hyphen. The younger adults that are out of high school, that are in college. I'm thankful for what is going on and happening. There's office personnel. God has blessed us so much, and I'm glad that there's someone here. Sister Lauren, I give God thanks for you every day for what you're doing. I want to back up just a minute to maintenance for a second. We getting ready to do some major remodeling. I'll just going to forewarn you. And we debated on what way we needed to go. And we were trying to decide whether to tear this, because the ceiling in the fellowship hall was falling. And that stuff starts what we called unzipping. You didn't know where it was going to stop. There was sags and places, because after 53 years, 52 years, you know, some of you don't hold up real well after 52 years either, do you? There's droops and dupes. Things coming loose. And so we said, we'll just tear the ceiling out. We'll put suspended ceiling. So then I'm told, do you know how much suspended ceiling is going to cost? Well, it's only 5,500 square feet. Can't be that bad. It's not going to. And Brother Kennedy, he told me, he said, I don't want my name called. Well, I cannot not say something without calling Brother Thomas Kennedy's name. He walked in and looked at me and said, we need 2,400 screws. I went, for what? He said, I know how that ceiling works. I'm going to screw it back up and then we can paint it. Right at 2,400, give or take. He could probably tell you exactly how many. We set a scaffold up. His motor is upstairs somewhere teaching the Sunday school class. And they spent several days and reattached and took the sags and the high humps out and all that good stuff out of that ceiling and got it ready. I'm thankful. We got hallways that are being opened up that he has spent untold hours. He's just one of many, but just me and him, we got it going our direction right now, and we're going to keep it headed that way. Don't come along and mess up with our relationship. I thank you, Brother Kennedy. And my daughter and son-in-law, God sent them at a time that was needed. And they have got in here, and they have, he has proven that he has not overstepped his boundary as of yet. And he comes and asks, I don't want to do nothing that's going to bring any kind of reproach or anything like that. And Heppen does a great job leading worship and just things that
in the background that I thank them so much. And if you think that that's it, there's one lady in this church that if it wasn't for her, we would all be in trouble. Anybody want to guess who it is? That is my wife. I tell you what, you talking about thankful? If I done, now she tells me I tell too much. If I done everything that I said I was going to do, and she'll sit there and look at me and she'll say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And I know what that means. You better not open your mouth. Oh, you got a wife like that too. I know. So turn and look at me. There is not a more loving, caring first lady, in my opinion, in Pentecost or in any church, as far as that's concerned, than this lady and the way she cares for this church and the prayers that she prays. And she will sit there and start naming off who's been here, who hadn't been here, how long it's been, and she will pick up the phone and she'll start calling because she cares. But to the saints, if you hadn't fallen in one of those categories, we need help. And we're thankful in advance that you're going to get on board. We need bus drivers. We need more Sunday school teachers. We need nursery workers. We need ushers. We need people that's going to step up and learn the sound, people that will step up and learn the media. If you want to do something, now you cannot ask no questions. You just watch and learn. Hook yourself up with Brother Kennedy. He can show you how to keep a building running. He may tell you to go home. But there are men in this church that does. We look around outside. You drive up and there's flowers. I could stand here and probably go for another hour on things that happen. I don't want to reach a place that I'm unthankful. And if you say nothing more but come by and say, I'm praying for you. Or we look around and there's things that's happened. Who done that? We don't know. For those that are in that walk in here and you're flying stealth, we thank you. Because this is all for the kingdom of God and what God is doing for us in this place. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's stand. I don't need any music, so just ain't no need to save you a step or two. But it's all because of the breath that God has given us that we have made it 85 years. That on October the 15th, 1930, 12 days removed, that a man and a woman decided we can build a church with the help of God. And while there's been other churches that have started and stopped, this place has prevailed because God has given generation after generation after generation a mind to work and to do the will of God And I thank you. Would you lift your hands and just tell the Lord how thankful you are right now?